They feel right now that God is doing something in this assembly that's lifting it higher and taking it deeper. And right now, as God is beginning to clean out the house of God, which we've longed for so long, I preached about it for so long, there's a new hope in this church. It's going to set people free that allows them to move up into higher places in God. Depth of a tree, the roots go down before the branches go out. And right now we're doing that. God's people finally have got themselves to a place where there seems to be an awareness of what they've been doing. An awareness of the power of the enemy and a desire to get free and a hope to get free like never before. And the church of God is moving. Amen. We're not back in the dark ages. There's been new revelations poured out of spirit. And God is moving, and right ahead of us, as we get rid of these demonic forces that have hindered God's people, there is going to be power with God, gifts of the Spirit, glory in His presence, joy in the Holy Ghost, outreach, doors opening. These things cannot help but follow a people that will come to the cross, get rid of the demonic spirits, deny the devil, resist him. These things must result in a greater movement of the Spirit of God. And I am thrilled at what I am seeing God doing. And I want to say, have faith in God. Come on in and allow God to do that work in you. Open up your hearts and your mind and allow God to do that. I'd like to invite the ushers at this time. So stood, you don't want to sit down doing singing, but you become a wall to those behind you that can't see uphill. And unless we raise you up sometimes, I didn't let it go on, but you can't consistently stand up and make a wall. Nobody can stand during the whole service back though, and so maybe we'll need to take opportunity to stand at times to rest. You're so excited you can't sit, and other times you have to forbear and just let it churn inside and worship the Lord. Be prepared for the offering this morning. Thank you for your gifts. Song. Praise the Lord, it's good to be free. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, if you're singing that song this morning and you're not free in your spirit, I want to tell you that you can be free. You can be free. If you will set yourself, if you will set your face like flint, and you will look to God and to His holy word, and you will say, Lord, I have a right in the new covenant relationship in Jesus Christ by the blood of the Lamb to be free. And I am not going to allow the devil to bind me. And I now come to you with an irrevocable decision that I will obey the word of truth. I will follow God. I will deny myself. I will do what God wants me to do. I will allow God to use me. I will rebuke and renounce every demonic activity, thought, and thing I have ever been in and am involved with. I will no longer give my body over to the devil. I will no longer give my mind over to the devil. I won't allow my spirit, that spirit to have the devil to come in. I will not use my tongue for the devil. I will not use it to lash, to cut, to hate, to gossip, to backbite. I will not allow my spiritual rank of the spirit to take over the flesh. But I am going to come to the cross. I surrender. I set myself to wait upon God. I claim, set myself to constantly renounce every demonic thing in my and that's come against me. Everything that's got a hold of me. Everything that I'm not free at. I am going to claim the power of God. I'm going to continually ask for deliverance. I'm going to ask you to send your holy angels and drive away the evil angels of the demons. I am going to set myself in God and pray. I'm going to submit myself, humble myself, come down to my brothers and say, pray for me. Use my weakness. Pray for me. I submit myself to you. If you will do those things and mean it, if you will set yourself continually, I will guarantee you that you will be free. Those powers will leave you. God's Spirit will come in and give you a love and a freedom and a joy in the Holy Ghost, and you can be on your way again, moving up higher in God. I guarantee that for you that will really set yourself and really mean business. But if you want to just travel out in the world and come and get free while you'll still hang on to these things and you still want to love them and be free and you want a pop pill answer but won't set yourself and won't really claim it and won't really walk in faith and won't really set yourself against it, then you won't get free. Morning. For after this next song, for someone, if you have really been set free, and there have been a lot of manifestations, and you've gotten with battle in this thing, and God has totally set you free, you just feel totally free inside. I mean, you're just bouncing with a freedom. I would like to have that testimony. I would like to have that testimony that where you can come and you can just let it pour out and you're totally free. You're not just hunting to be free, wanting to be free, just praying about it. We don't want an intellectual talking about it. We want somebody who will be able to share with us, because I know that many people are being set free. I know many of you have been. I know many of you have a testimony. And this morning we would like to hear it from you. Tonight, I would like this place to ring with testimonies of deliverance. I would like to give great space to body ministry and deliverance tonight and for testimonies. I would like you to encourage one another. If God has set you free, we want you to tell us about it. And you that have been set free and you're rejoicing in it and you know and you've gone through these things, you have something to share with us this morning. Would you come down right now and sit here on the minister's bench and share with us in a moment what God has done for you, that we also might be encouraged by it. I have been greatly encouraged by the many testimonies that have gone forth of deliverance in this place. It might even be that Lanny Peterson, who is the deliverance minister, Earl Fader's on vacation right now this week. He might feel that he might have something short to let us give a report on what is happening that might be to the edification, the glory of Jesus Christ, that might encourage some people, that might let you know a little bit what's happening during the daytime, week by week, day by day. And if so, I would invite him also to share briefly with us this morning before the Word of God. During prayer last week, the Lord gave me a message, and I preached that last Friday night. And every so often, I preach a message. I'm going to have someone come, and I see people leaving, and I want them to get all this message. Would you see if you can get back within about 4 minutes, please? You are going. I'm going to have someone come and we'll either take one more testimony or else a song here. I'm going to give a chance for these people to hear the message. We've got too many leaving. Every so often, I preach a sermon that I feel, I'm not sure this is the right word, but it's a real classic. And I'm not talking about my abilities or the presentation or anything like this. I'm talking about the revelatory nature of it being brought together in a way that is more than just a study or just some scriptures put together, and that I feel is a very important speech of spiritual understanding down at the grassroots level. And I preached one of those this last Friday night. I got this message when I was praying, and I wanted to bring it this morning, but I spent it Friday night. And if you didn't get a chance to hear it, I would like you to hear it. And it has to do with God deciding to take the human beings into His realm and to love them and be a part with them in this great salvation. It's a beautiful sermon in its revelation. And I just wanted to say that because I feel like every once in a while there is a sermon that is special, and I feel like you need to get that message. Brother Stu. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, war with the devil on planet Earth. The last verse of Genesis chapter 1 says, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. But fallen Lucifer said, I will not allow God's heart to be satisfied with man. I will deceive the woman that God gave to Adam. I will cause mankind to fall. Then, after the fall, I will corrupt them, so that God will cast them off, even as He cast me off. And so the protector became the adversary. And Eve dialogued with the devil and became deceived. And Adam cast in with her for her sake. And they were expelled from God's presence in Eden. But God set up lamb sacrifices as a point of contact through faith and obedience, so that He might forgive man For now man would be without God's revelation. Man would be now pressed hard by Satan, whom he had chosen to obey over God. And he was going to need something to hold him steady, something to release faith in God. And God gave Eve two sons that had not sinned, that could decide to follow him. But Satan said, I'll get them both. I'll send a spirit of jealousy and a spirit of murder to the oldest. And I'll kill one and corrupt the other. But God gave Eve compensation, translated Seth, who walked with God to start a faithful lineage of saints for God's pleasure. But Satan made sure that Cain's lineage followed him. And he plotted to use Cainite women to corrupt the men in Seth's lineage, and thereby corrupt the whole human race, both the Cainites and the Sethites. And he almost succeeded. Finally, 1,700 years after the fall of Adam, only the Noahic family remained faithful to God. Ha ha! Crackled the devil. Let Noah and his wife die, and the sons will not be able to withstand the pressure from the outside world, and I'll have the whole human race. But God sent a flood. In desperation to save out of that race of people, he destroyed the Cainites and all Sethites who cast in with the Cainites. Eight faithful souls in an ark of safety were led to a new land to start a new beginning with God. Fools, screamed Satan. Round one is mine, and I'll win each round with inferior man. Dupes they are, so easy to deceive. And Satan found his man in Nimrod, who drew all men to gather into his kingdom to build one people under the devil's iron hand. But God confounded their language by sending division among them. He divided their speech and dispersed them over the face of the earth. God found his man in Abraham, who he called to carry on the faithful seed that had existed since Noah. But the devil had anticipated this, and he made Sarah barren so that Abraham would have no further seed. Have no seed. And when God promised to remove this curse, after a testing period of faith, the devil sent evil spirits of rationale and self-effort into the minds of Sarah and Abraham, resulting in Ishmael, a man born after the flesh, after the rationale and the self-trying of man to fulfill the promise of God. But God was not to be thwarted. Continued faith, after God informed Abraham that Ishmael was not the promise, resulted in Isaac, born of a miracle of God, a man born after the Spirit. And although his eldest son, Esau, sold his birthright to a deceiver, God transformed this deceiver, Jacob, into a prince with God, renaming him Israel. And he gave him a wife that he loved dearly. But Satan had made her barren, too. And Israel could have sons only by Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah. But God hearkened to the cry of Rachel, and he gave her Joseph and Benjamin. Well, I'll fix this goody-good Joseph hunk of flesh, vowed the devil. And he sent spirits of jealousy to his brothers, who put him in a pit, sold him down into Egypt. But God gave Joseph favor. Curses, screamed the devil. He should be a slave. No matter. I know my own. I know the weakness of human flesh. I'll tempt him to fall by a persuasive woman. I'll spend spirits of enticement to her. Ha, ha, ha! I'll get him! But God moved upon Joseph for strength, and he fled her presence. Oh, won't bite, eh? Okay, I'll send an accusing spirit to the woman. And I'll send a jealous spirit to her husband. Joseph will have nothing to do with this one. Ha, ha, ha. Now I got him because I know my own. If I can't tempt him, I'll nail him with those that are under my power. And into the dungeon went Joseph, the innocent man of God falsely accused. I am going to set Joseph up for deliverance, God said. And I sent Joseph the word of knowledge to interpret dreams of those in prison that God knew by foreknowledge would be released, so they would come into the ears of the king. For God gave dreams to those in prison, and then he gave revelation to Joseph that they might know that he was a man who can interpret dreams. And then the devil sent spirits of forgetfulness to these men that after they were out of prison, failed to mention Joseph as they promised Joseph to the king. Spirits of forgetfulness came into them, and they forgot completely, the scripture says. But then God sent the king a dream. And then when his own people were unable to interpret it, then God sent a spirit of remembrance to that man who remembered. And when that thing came to him from the king and he remembered, and Joseph was brought out of the prison, called in desperation by the king to interpret the dream, God revealed that thing. So God gave him favor with Pharaoh, and he became second highest in the kingdom, higher than he would have been before he went down into the dungeon if he had not been accused. And God gave him a dream to the intent that he could save Israel by reconciling them to Joseph under Joseph, as God had given to Joseph in a dream earlier in life. And so God sent a famine to drive Israel to food. But food was nowhere to be found excepting down in Egypt. For God had determined that he would regulate the Nile for 14 years. He would regulate it with the right amount so that it would overflow and inundate the fields and bring great crops. And then he would cause the Nile to not be able to rise high enough to overflow its banks, and there'd be a famine in the land, for the fields would be barren. There would be no watering. And then he sent to Joseph revelation of this in a dream and said, therefore, be careful of the food when it's plenteous and store it up against the years of famine. And because of the dream, he stored up food and Egypt had food and the other nations poured down into it. Israel poured down into it. And there, through the revelation of Joseph, they came under Pharaoh. They repented. It caused them to save Israel. And Israel became a great, enormous, prosperous tribe, blessed of God and of Pharaoh in Egypt. I can't fight this Pharaoh-Joseph coalition, said Satan, but I'll get my day. And when a new Pharaoh came, he got his day, for this new Pharaoh knew not Joseph. And Satan sent to this Pharaoh demons of fear of Israel, because they were getting so large. Demons of hate for Israel, against Israel. Demons of pride. Demons of control. And demons of murder. And so Israel was put under bondage, and all male swords were put to the sword. But God put it in the heart of Jochebed, faith to hide Moses in the reeds in the marsh. Ho, sneered the devil. I'll put it in Pharaoh's daughter to bathe at that precise spot and find him, and he'll be put to the sword. I'll put it in Pharaoh's daughter to pity him and raise him as her own son, God said. Blaster, screamed Satan. Okay, then, I'll correct him to the education of Egypt as she brings him up. I'll put faith in Moses' mother to ask to be his nurse and tutor, God said. And I'll put it in her, within the Pharaoh's daughter, to desire it to be so, said God. And so Moses grew in favor with God and man. Lest he save Israel and Egypt too, said Satan in great fear, I'll tempt him in a new way. For he will not yield to my demons of selfishness, greed, and power, control, as the second highest in Egypt. Nor will he yield to my demons of lust and sin. I will send an Egyptian to strive with a headstrong Israelite. just when Moses is about to appear on the scene. And I will snare Moses with his fierce loyalty to God and his people. And so it was. And the devil put in Moses' mind to kill the Egyptian. And the devil said, good, now I'll fill Pharaoh's ear with the news, and Moses will be no more. I'll keep both Egypt and Israel as captive. God will have no future sons. But God put it in Moses' heart to flee Egypt till it was time that God send him back. And back he came in spite of demons of fear that came against him. And he was saying, but God, and God says, go. Oh, here comes the man of God, the devil lured. I'll fill Israel full of demons of unbelief. I'll send Pharaoh demons of pride and of selfishness and of haughtiness. Come, demons of disdain for God. Come, demons of hardness of heart. Come, demons of closed mind. Come, demons of boldness. Come, demons of stubbornness. Come into that man. And the fight was on. But I want you to know we always triumph when we're in God. And the devil was furious when God led Israel out of Egypt under Moses. Furious! He set demons of regret and anger to Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh would send his army back out after him again. But God rescued Israel by the Red Sea. God sent demons of fear to the Israelites. Satan sent demons of fear to the Israelites. He sent demons of complaint to them. He sent demons of bitterness to them. And at the bitter waters of Meribah, but God made the water sweet. I'll slay them by the Amalekites, for they must pass that way, Satan raged. I'll send spirits of hate and murder to Amalek. But God sent Israel angelic spirits of faith and victory and unity and submission. And they held Moses' hands up, and the rod of God prevailed in Moses' hand, and Israel yielded to these and won the war by nightfall. They will not get by with this. I'll send divisive spirits of unsubmission to leadership. I'll send spirits of rebellion. I'll send spirits of stoning. I'll send spirits of complaining against Moses. I'll send spirits of doubt against God. I'll send spirits of fear of dying of thirst and fear of dying of hunger. I'll send spirits of confusion. I'll send spirits of loss of vision. I'll send spirits of idolatry to worship the demon gods of Egypt under the symbol of the golden calf. Satan raged, but God saw them through the demonic invasion, and he led them supernaturally by day and by night up to Canaan. I'll send them spirits of fear to rationale, storm Satan. I'll send them spirits of comparison of strengths. I'll cloud God's promise, and I'll call their unbelief reasonableness in facing the facts. And Satan did his work well, but not completely. But God waited patiently for the next generation to grow up. And he sent them out to enter, overcome, and to occupy Canaan under faithful leadership. I'll trick Moses to disobey God, vowed Satan. In a fit of righteous indignation, he shall disobey. I'll get him when his heart is right. I'll catch him because of his righteous indignation among the people of unbelief. And God had to send Moses to Mount Nebo to die. But God took his body, and he took his soul and spirit home. And God replaced Moses with faithful Joshua. I'll stop Joshua. I'll find a man who will disobey God for gold. I'll send Achan, a demon of greed, vowed Satan. And Israel was stopped dead in the track after Jericho fell. But God exposed the sin, and he dealt with it, and led Israel on to victory after victory in Canaan. I'll trick Joshua into making a league with deceivers. I'll send demons of deceit to them. And I'll send demons to his mind so he will not be clear. And he'll make a league with those that he's supposed to kill. I'll send demons of apathy to Israel, so Israel will allow some of the Canaanites to remain in the land. I'll tell Israel, why go to all the work of routing out innocent women and children? They've given up. Their strength is broken. Surely these little pockets of innocent people can't become a problem to the victor. And the devil then waited until they multiplied. Wave after wave of warring demons stood up Israel from within and from without to overcome Israel. Wave after wave of evil spirits invaded Israel. Spirits of complacency, apathy, lust, curiosity with heathen things, selfishness, strife, division, and so forth. Without number, they poured upon Israel. And every time they would give in to something, they would bring their old companion with them. Every time a temptation come, they'd open up, their more demons would send, would come in and take a hold of them. But God saw them in their plight, and he raised up judges to save them and to preach righteousness and to insist that the word of God be followed and to bring them into repentance. And they did, and again the devil sent hordes of demonic spirits to Israel to tempt them to folly. And again God sent them spirits to enable them to repent. And through the misery, through their captivities, God caused them to see that they had disobeyed God and call again. And God was faithful to forgive and send another deliverer. Satan sent to Samson spirits of enticement for a Philistine girl for a wife. Marry a Philistine girl. Ah, look at this jewel. She will be a good wife. And then devil sent him evil spirits of sport and spirits of carelessness. And so Samuel became bound and blind. But there came a day in his misery that he repented. God renewed his strength. And then he took down the temple of the Philistines in his death. Satan corrupted Samuel's sons. And then he worked on Israel to have grounds to reject them as judges, demanding a king instead. Good, I've broken the hold of God on Israel. Through Samuel, Satan crowed. But God gave Saul a new heart and anointed him king. I'll corrupt him with demons of pride, with demons of fear. I'll send him demons of disobedience. I'll send him demons of hopelessness so that he'll inquire of evil witch spirits. Satan screeched, and he did. But God raised up David to replace him. Oh, no, not him, cried the devil in anguish. I'll down him with a bear, but God downed the bear. I'll down him with a lion, but God downed the lion. I'll down him with Goliath, but God downed Goliath. I'll down him with Saul, but God downed Saul. I'll down him with Absalom, but God downed Absalom. Okay, power he has with God. I hate him. I'll snare him with Uriah's wife. I'll arrange it. And he did. But God sent Nathan the prophet to reprove him. And David threw himself on the floor and wept before God and repented. And God forgave him and prospered him until his death. I'll corrupt his son through wealth, vowed Satan. But Solomon came to himself and found the wisdom of God. I'll corrupt him through false religions of thousands of beautiful women, the devil hooted. He cannot resist that. And he didn't. And I'll divide his son's kingdom by sending demons of rebellion. Taxes are too high to endure, spirits of criticism shouted in the ears of Rehoboam. Lead the people to revolt, shouted demons of rebellion to Rehoboam. You can be the leader for reformation, yield the demons of pride to Jeroboam. Jeroboam, all these. Establish a new religious base, screeched demons of impiety to Jeroboam. And Jeroboam took the bait, hook, line, and sinker. And rebellious Israel entered their dark age when they divided and left Judah and went to the north. But God was not through with Israel yet. He left them for four generations in sin. And then in the reign of Ahab and Jezebel, he sent Elijah the prophet to destroy the religions of Baal and Ashtaroth and to turn Israel to the worship of Yahweh again, saving many. And Elisha followed on with 100 prophets in the making. I'll poison them all, shrieked Satan. And so as the sons of the prophets were out gathering, they gathered poisoned gourds, shredded them into the pot, and there all the 100 prophets in the making were there to eat of this poison. But God revealed it, and God caused them in an act of faith God healed that in an act of faith, caused them to eat the poison, what they knew was poison, as God put the meal in it and said, it's okay now. And they were not harmed. I'll take Israel's king through Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, by surprise, Satan promised his followers. But God revealed the scheme to Elisha, who warned the king, and Israel was not taken. I'll take that blankety-blank prophet captive under Ben-Hadad, Satan vowed, for every time I tell Ben-Hadad to go up and take him, then God tells Elisha what I'm up to, and he warns the king, and all my plans are thwarted. I'll get that prophet. I'll send a whole army against him. I'll capture him just before he gets up in the morning. My armies will bring him back. We'll slaughter him. Rising, God sent an angel to awaken Elisha's servant, that he woke up early that morning, the scripture says. And woke up early, he couldn't sleep. And he walked out on the balcony there at Dothan, he looked out. And there he saw the Syrians, great masses of them coming in. And he woke up Elisha. And Elisha prayed. And God gave him a vision. Myriads of angels coming in with chariots to fight against those Assyrians. And the angels smote the Assyrians with blindness. And Elisha led them to Samaria to the king. And when their eyes were open, they found themselves surrounded on all sides with weapons. And then God caused them to show them courtesy, feed them with food, and send them home. And so they left them alone after that. And God continued to teach and to warn his people through Joel and Jonah and Amos and Hosea and Micah and Isaiah. That was up to the point where Israel was taken captive. Israel has no more grounds for God's grace, Satan screamed time and time again. But finally, God would no longer strive with Israel. And he let them over to the devil and under Syria. But God had opened his book and he predestined them in his book for a future regathering. And he closed the book on Israel for time being. I finally got Israel, Satan gloated. And now let's finish Judah off with the same demonic army, adding to those that I've already got working on them. Waves of evil spirit invaded careless Judah till she became worse than a sister, Israel, scripture says. Ah, I've got the last of God's covenant people now, finally shrieked the devil with glee. But God sent them into the furnace of Babylon to burn out their dross. And when they came out, they were a pious people. And God sent them in due time a Messiah. Oh, how the wicked spirits raged and worked. But God defeated the hosts of hell on Calvary through Jesus Christ. God sent the Holy Ghost at Pentecost and filled them with the Holy Ghost. And God sent apostles out under a new covenant, with gifts of the Spirit, with signs and wonders following. The people saw it and believed, and many were turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many were added to the roll book of heaven. Hurry, you spirits of Gnosticism. Hurry, you spirits of pseudo-intellectual religions. Hurry, you spirits of error. Hurry, you pompous spirits. Hurry, you spirits of blindness. Hurry, you hosts of hell and darkness. Storm the church, cried Satan. And the church was overcome with great darkness for generations. God waited till he found men willing to know and preach truth. And he found such men in Peter DeBray, Abelard, Arnold of Brescia, Wycliffe, Huss, Savonarola, Luther, Zwingli, Calvin, Farrell, Knox, Roger Williams, Wesley, Whitfield, Finney, Moody, Spurgeon, Torrey, Mordecai Ham, Dr. Dowie, Simpson, and so forth. Clearer and clearer the word of God became. The devil shrieked, he ranted, he roared. He threw spirits of atheism into the fight, spirits of agnosticism, spirits of humanism, spirits of evolution, spirits of pseudo-intellectualism, spirits of alcohol and gambling and tobacco and lust, hatred for piety and apathy. He threw them all into the fray. But God retaliated with spirits of holiness, and spirits of love for those who would return, and the holiness movement was born. And then God launched an atomic counterattack with a second Pentecost. The devil howled in pain and rage, and he sent demons of war and launched World War I. But while many were there dying and in fear, they gave their hearts to Jesus and they made the roll book of heaven that they would have lost out if they had stayed in complacency. And then, Satan launched demons of pseudo-emancipation for the weaker sex and demons of rebellion and frivolity to launch the roaring 20s. And he sent demons of greed to launch the Great Depression of the 30s. And he sent demons of war to launch World War II in the 40s. But in fear, many of them gave their hearts to God also. God took effect. God took advantage of their weakness. And God sent forth men of miracles. Branham, Roberts, Freeman, Cole, Jenkins, Valdez, Gardner, Grant, Erickson, Jeffries, Hicks, Osborne, and so forth. Men to bring signs again to God's people, to heal God's people, to raise them up, to show them that God is still alive. God sent a new revival. They called it the latter rain, which they thought it was. And he sent tongues into the denominational churches in the neo-Pentecostal move. And God ordained community chapel and other churches in the last days. And now God is exposing demon oppressors, showing us the underground workings of the devil. I left out a scripture last week I intended to use, my best one. Acts 19, just listen, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them. Now you know that this is a New Testament age we're talking about here. You know that we're talking about those who had faith in God, that the healing was for the covenant people. You know that these aprons were brought to were those who could not be in the meetings, but they had heard there what God was doing through the Apostle Paul's hands, and the Apostle Paul sent that as a point of contact to those who would believe, to those who were believers, to those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and the healing power, who would believe in Paul. These were not sent to people who did not believe in Paul and Jesus. Obviously, these things were for a point of contact of faith for those who were in the covenant, who would believe in such a cloth and place it over there, believing that God had sent Paul and believing in Jesus Christ the miracle, whose name they were anointed over, right? Well, that isn't the end of the verse. And it said the diseases departed from them and evil spirits went out of them. We see that Jesus went out and he healed the sick and he cast out demons. We see that the 12 disciples went out, healed the sick, and they cast out demons. We see that the 70 were sent out. They healed the sick and they cast out demons. We see Philip went down to Samaria. He healed the sick and he cast out demons. We see that Paul sent anointed handkerchiefs and they healed the sick and they cast out demons. And you have no way of proving that all those demons were all just in the form of diseases, unless you decide so. Unless you decide so without any proof. He healed the sick and they cast out demons. People vexed with demonic spirits were released. And the battle will continue to the millennium with the devil. But the church marches on. And the devil shall be bound. And he shall be, with all of his demon powers, thrown into the lake of fire. We are growing in God. We are growing in God. We are learning. We are coming up. We are moving. And God promises us the latter rain, the Feast of Tabernacles, the bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, the man-child company, the head of the world government to fall flat, dead for a season, a church with one faith, a great harvest of souls. And it will come to pass, not one jot or tittle will pass until all be fulfilled. No one can close the door that God has opened. The devil is nearing his hour of defeat. His time is fast running out. Although he fights with renewed fury, with renewed hate, although he's coming with great screamings and roarings and lashings, Yet his time is just about over. Soon the battle will be over, and we shall wear the victor's crown. Hold on, O soldier of the cross, for angelic armies prepare to ride. Armor up, the battle rages on. But take heart, the battle is the Lord's. Soon victory will be ours. We'll ride triumphant in through the gates of eternal splendor. Hush the groanings and weepings, ye wounded. The heavenly physician draws near to heal. Soon in health ye shall be, and in joy and wealth and palace grand. But till then have faith in God, for Jesus has defeated the serpent, and his power is ours. Satan contests in vain. The great judge will soon decide the fate of men and demons. Have faith, fear not, instead sing. For weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you keep your angels encamped about the camp of the saints of God. And I pray that this people will be very careful with the decisions and the actions of their life. I pray that they'll walk softly and on tiptoe before the Lord, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, being careful to look at everything they do in life, to whether see whether it be a trap of the devil or whether it be allowed of the Lord. I pray, O God, that you'll lift the fog, rouse from sleepiness, send your light. May your people pray diligently that they might receive light from you that will search their heart and see if there be any wicked way, that will receive faith from God to believe. Woo them and draw them to thy love. Help them to have faith in you, to hold steady. And when the battle rages, when the enemy counterattacks, when the enemy comes against them with great force, I pray that they will not give in, but I pray that they will turn to you. And they'll call upon God and faith believing, and they'll rebuke the devil with authority and take the way of escape. I pray that they will come in that hour and be sensitive. They'll deny themselves. They'll say, I will not, but like Joseph, flee sin and obey God. Help your people, O God, to trust not in themselves, but in you. Help them to lean upon the Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them and keep them in the love of Jesus. Help them to keep about the Master's business, not legalistically, but claiming the love of God, walking carefully in the environment of God, coming out from the world and leaving those things and making decisions, being willing to put off the things of the flesh, demonic symbols, lies of the devil, and to walk in freedom, joy of the Holy Ghost. Protect your people. Protect each one and give us revelation. Help us to spend time waiting upon God. Help us to wait and in faith. And if we see not the promise like Abraham, believe until the coming of pass of the same. Now, our Heavenly Father, if there be any healed this morning that are sick in body, and those that could not come because of sickness, I pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that the healing virtues of the Lord Jesus will flow through them now. And there be heal your people now. May a healing virtue flow now. We claim a healing of the Lord Jesus for the sick. Reach out and take it by faith. Lord, if there be those here this morning that do not know thee, they're unsaved, they're not born again, the name is not on the roll book of heaven, today we close this service, they'll come down to this altar in front of the pulpit and kneel. And by that signify that they want salvation. So all the workers will meet them there and lead them to the joy of the born-again life in Jesus Christ and the new covenant. Tonight, We would like a good body ministry. If God has released you, I would like you to share it tonight. Step into the anointed slot and just tell us what God has done. Glorify God. Just come believe in the Lord tonight. Open up and just let the Holy Spirit have a freedom in us tonight to magnify the Lord Jesus. Live for Him every day. Walk in victory. God bless you. You are dismissed. Greet someone nearby you that you don't know. Welcome them to the service, if you will, please. Thank you.